Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And we're going to talk about our good friends, the whales. And we're going to talk about an incredible action-packed novel about whales and other things that are very relevant to what we normally talk about on Energy Stew. And we're going to talk with the author of this new novel called The Emissary. And she's a best-selling author. And I'm so glad, Patricia Corey, that you could be on Energy Stew. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be with you.
Well, thank you. I loved your book. I was planning to take several days to read it, and that was impossible because it was too good to put down. And I kept on trying to put it down, but I needed to keep going because it was so engrossing and captivating and so well written, too, that you just are in it, you know. I love your ability to really create action and suspense and, you know, all the drama. And yet, what I really want to talk about, because I don't want to give the book away to the listeners, because it is suspenseful also, but it's really about something that you wrote about because of your personal involvement with whales, and I believe that you're also involved with quantum reality too.
And definitely.
And right, and that's something that, well, you wouldn't have been able to write about it so well if you weren't. And that's something that I'm very involved with myself. And the show is, I'm a professional intuitive, and I'm very excited about all the different ways that we're all tuned in to what's of value to our souls to pursue in this life. And for some people, it's being able to talk with animals. Excuse me. Talk with animals. And all of a sudden, I got something caught in my throat. Talk with animals and whales, even. And it's fascinating to see this with so many different people. I'm going to have Robert Moss on the show in a couple of weeks, who is a dream archaeologist. and so we all have different purposes working in this quantum field.
Yes.
And I think your purpose is...
Different purposes and different callings, I think.
Exactly. Well, that's the point, is that your calling is so wonderful because of your talent to portray so much of this in action books.
Thank you.
You know, you have a number of them. This isn't your first novel. You're already best-selling.
It is my first novel. It's my I have 13 books out now.
Oh, okay.
but they're all nonfiction before this.
Okay, I wasn't familiar with that. I knew that you were a best-selling author and you're so good at novels. I figured, well, this you know, you must be an old hand at this.
Oh, how encouraging. Thank you so much. Yeah. It's just out, you know, and it's wonderful getting these first reactions because I did take a leap of faith and just dove into the novel format because I wanted to tell the story. And yes, it is motivated by my vision for the whales and other aspects that you know are in the book. But I think I wanted to take a leap and try to reach out to the greater mass audience so that we can get more people on board.
For sure. And you do go about it in the book because you... It, so much of it is about disbelievers.
Indeed.
And bringing them around, helping people understand the possibilities that are out there with being more at one on the planet with our universal nature and connecting to sea life and land life and air life, but so much of this book is all about the sea.
And, it is. Although it's also about the secret government and what they're up to.
Oh, good. Let's talk about that, too.
I don't have to hold back.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, there are
well,
things
Well, my
that...
work in the past...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I would just say the books that you haven't read yet are really bring forward the idea of the secret design by those who believe they have the power to control the Earth, and the secret plan, let's say, that they have for the Earth. And it was more secret when those books first came out back almost 12, 13 years ago now. And the secret is, let's say, not to be confused with the concept, the secret that was made popular by the book, but the, let's say the government secret is much more clear to everyone now, and that is helping us all rise out of the slumber that we've been in and start to understand what's really going on this planet. And that's how we start to change it.
Okay, of course you're talking about conspiracy theories.
Well, no, I'm speaking of really conspiracy reality.
No, I know.
We're seeing.
I only said that because that's the way that you're attacked or we're attacked to talk about this.
Well, what I did was I coined a new term, conspiracy realist.
Right.
And that's got everybody shaken up because we're not theorists anymore. We're realists. We get it. And so do so many people.
Well, there's so much data around now about it.
That is right.
And it's hard to deny the data.
That's true.
Right.
but, you know, it's just like people looking up at the sky and saying, what chemtrails? It's like if it looks like a duck and it sounds like a duck and it walks like a duck, it's a duck. So you can... best way to conceal a secret is to put it right in front of people's faces.
Well, and then have excuses for it, too.
Exactly.
Because I've
seen... But anyway, regardless of all that, we are, I believe that we are waking up in great numbers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I'm a warrior out there, and I would like to say, I hate to use the term fighting, but I really am out there being a spokesperson for what I believe is important. And it's, you know, it's a tough mission to do. And we all have our different levels of how we are working for a spirit. But definitely, I believe it's a time of awakening. Long awaited.
Right.
But it's time.
Actually, I have a show coming up right after Robert Moss's show with Alan Sasha Lithman, who has written a book on the entrenchment of the powers that be in society and understanding why it's so hard for society to shift gears and give up all of this power and greed and distortion that the whole world is actually feeding off of because of propaganda.
That's right. It's a massive machine, the whole the propaganda machine. But it and that's why they're trying to silence people like us, the alternative voices. But you just can't silence it all. And we are bringing attempting to bring the truth through to as many people who can hear it.
Right. So in a sense, your novel is based on a real story. It's not quite the same, but it's based on the facts that exist out in the world in terms of what machinery, the government, the rogue government, let's call them, has going
through. Well, it starts out with the three events. The book launches into three simultaneous occurrences on the planet, and these have all occurred on the planet. So the premise is already set that this is fiction, but the truth, which I was honored to have Captain Paul Watson of the Sea Shepherd say, the truth is almost also revealed through fiction, and the emissary does just that, which
right.
was such a wonderful endorsement. But yeah, it starts out with three catastrophic events. The first one is in Los Angeles, hundreds and hundreds of blackbirds just drop dead out of the sky, and we've seen this happen now in several locations in the States with unexplained reasons for how that occurred. They just drop out dead simultaneously, bang. The book describes it as an Alfred Hitchcock scenario. And simultaneously in Maine on the east, comes out of her backyard on the beach and finds tens of thousands of dying and dead fish strewn as far as the eye can see down the coast. And simultaneously we're then launched to New Zealand, where 150 whales and dolphins have together beached and are dying on a resort beach in New Zealand. So these three events have all occurred on the planet, are occurring on the planet, and this is the premise for what occurs in the book. There's some force that is creating some sort of energy field, wave, or whatever, that is causing this to happen. And, of course, at the end of that first chapter, it describes a field in Alaska where a mysterious, unknown military camp is emitting strange and concerning long waves of energy. So we know what we're talking about there. And the book has a lot to do with that, how these waves are being used against the planet and the living beings on it.
So a lot of people are very innocent and don't really understand that there are not only people but organizations out there that are really violent and destructive to society in major ways, of almost interested. I think of it as a religious thing where they believe that Armageddon is approaching, and the sooner they can bring it along, the better. So let's destroy the planet and the people, and then the good guys will go to heaven.
Right.
Meaning them.
Well,
us.
As long as we are in that good guy, bad guy mentality, we're never going to really make it as a civilization. So I think that one of the things that we are dealing with in society now is learning how to escape the extreme polarity that we're in and strive for understanding that everything is connected. And that is a very mystical point of view, and it certainly is a very alternative way of perceiving life on this planet. There are people who are just tuned out because they don't want to hear any bad news, and there are people that are drugged out, completely hypnotized and under the veil of the dark force. And we've got to reach that fulcrum point where we're in the middle, being able to balance those two poles and move forward.
Well, what it surprises me is how many people can't see through the lies that they're given, and how the media feeds off of those people who are so receptive and parrot the lies. There was a book that just came out recently about Roger Ailes, and it talks about how unconcerned he is about the truth. And every day he thinks up talking points that he sends out to Fox and to the Republican Party, and all day long, every day, they all repeat these same talking points that have nothing to do with truth, because he's not concerned with truth. He's only concerned with attracting attention and making money off of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the mass media is controlled deliberately because their job isn't to speak about the truth. Their job is to massage whatever needs to be massaged so that the people in power keep the power and keep bringing in more cash. But the question is, to the people who don't really see it, I wonder if it's because they can't see it or they simply don't want to see it.
Well, you know, there's that old saying, a lie told often enough ends up sounding like truth.
Yeah, but, you know, it's also the fact that as long as it isn't in our face, as it isn't in our doorway, we can kind of ignore it. It's like, yeah, bummer over there, poor people. But I've been known to say this over and over again. It's not until we're confronted with these realities on our doorsteps that we start to wake up to what's really going on.
And that's what's happening. And that,
that's
I think, will happen even greater this year as more and more calamities reach us and people have enough of disruption in their lives and realize that there's something wrong here. And on every level of government and economy climate. And I don't believe that people understand how much of this is being controlled, because the government always likes to sound helpless when it comes to protecting us in terms of the weather, in terms of the planet. And also, of course, there's the right that says that there's not enough money to save our lives. So we have to forget about our lives because we have to earn the next dollar. So,
yeah, my question is, do the people still buy the idea that all of the things that are coming down are due to the fact that we need to be protected, or does the government, do the governments no longer care whether we believe the story or not because they've got so much power?
I think if there were enough people who didn't believe it, the uprisings would be even greater, you know, as we saw in the Middle East, where it was too obvious that the government wasn't working. Here, there are too many entrenched people who want to keep believing and or who are innocent and just imagine that the government wouldn't do wrong because, you know, I mean, there are people in my family who really are very innocent about it all and think that humans by nature are good people and we shouldn't doubt them.
Well, yeah, I know it's not my role to ask you the questions here, so pardon me if I do, but do you think that when they read The Emissary, they will be awakened a little bit to a more universal plan of what's going on?
I hope so. The reason I don't have perspective on it is because I know the subject matter too well. And, I know about speaking with animals, speaking with marine life. I know about these dark ops that are going on in the world and all kinds of things that people are doing that are destructive to our planet. So I was just grateful to read the novel. And I think a lot of my audience will be grateful to read the novel because it's such an exciting opportunity to experience things that they have heard about and understand. And, I think my audience is quite enlightened. And so I don't think this will be new. I do think that you'll capture a lot of people interested in novels and in action. And the more people, word of mouth gets out there about how wonderful this novel is written and how exciting it is to be totally immersed in it it's such a great experience for anybody, whether you believe it or not. the heroine in the story, she's quite an advanced soul who has great multidimensional abilities. And so, so it's nice to follow her through the story and to see all the wonderful things that she can do and understand. And I think we all are hopeful as we move forward that more and more people will develop these abilities. And certainly young people are revealing so much more advanced consciousness that hasn't been so common in the past decades. So we are coming into a time where I think society will benefit by the young. And a lot of people have told me that the young are much more aware of the dangers of the establishment. and much more able to see truth than the older people on the planet who are more entrenched in their viewpoints.
I hope so. We know that there's much been said about the indigo children, although I think that actually indigos have been coming in waves for some time now. But the idea that we get with animals is a big theme in the book, The Emissary, and Jamie has this incredible ability to hear them speak to her. And part of the essential information here is that the whales are calling out to her, or she is the emissary, and asking her to help them. And it has to do with the abuse of the sound patterns in the ocean.
Right.
And I think that we are rising up to those skills, like you said, the children especially, and more people are actually achieving this communication with animals. It's very exciting.
I love it. And, you know, it's beautiful to see in the book that not only can she hear the whales, but they also recognize her presence and are attracted to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then there's the dog. There's a dog on board. His name is Finn. And he becomes very attached to her. And I've used Finn as a mechanism also from a storytelling point of view of being able to show the interaction between her and the dog. Occasionally he says things like to his master, who says, "Why don't you listen to me?" And he says, the dog says, well, the third person of the dog says, and Finn was thinking, "If only you could speak to me like she does."
Right.
So I was, you know, using that vehicle also to express more about human and animal communication, which to me is very important.
Yeah, I love to watch it, and since I am intuitive, I understand that, you know, most of society doesn't know how animals work together, what their community, how their communities function. And because we think the only way to function is through speaking and reading and, you know, and understanding words. And yet ant colonies, you know, build these amazing architectures and engineering. And so many animals actually are really great engineers. And when they, birds flying, the way they fly together, fish, schools of fish, the way they move together, all of that has a consciousness to it that humans don't know where to start looking. And yet that's because there are extra senses that they don't realize. And one of them that's so important in the book is the sense of sound. And not only sound that your ears hear, but sound that runs deeper into your knowing. And there are people, even humans, who can actually hear other people's sounds. You walk down the street and they know what notes you're emitting from your energy field. And
that's very synchronistic with a book that my first book was called The Cosmos Soul, and it talked about how everything has its own song. It's called the WOM vibration.
Uh-huh.
And every individual being has its own imprint,
yes,
its own note, every celestial body. It's very exciting to see the world, the universe, in those terms,
and
as
yet,
a symphony.
And yet, people don't realize why they choose partners. And often they choose partners because they have particular notes in their sound that they need in their own frequency. So we're all running around looking for other people's sounds that help our sound.
It's like we've seen the wonderful work that Emoto has done with water.
Right.
And how he shows us how water is affected by sound and thought. And I like to think, in using your example of needing that note in one's own musical symphonic score, let's call it, that we are all seeking to strive perfection at levels that we don't understand as 3D beings walking around. In other words, like the water crystal, that strives to return to its six-sided star pattern. I believe that all living beings are striving to achieve the perfection of the great symphony that is being alive on this planet.
Right, and that idea gives us hope for the future, that the more that we can understand the symphony and the need for harmony within it, we can be more purposeful in inducing that harmony.
Absolutely. And my work is a lot about this. In fact, the book before The Emissary is called Before We Leave You, and it's a message from the whales and dolphins about their purpose on this planet. And it talks all about how they are the musicians of the ocean and how they are keeping the emotional body of Gaia in balance by playing certain music and reminding even the molecular structure of the water, reminding it, like Emoto has shown us with the crystals, of its perfection. If you'd like, we'll get a copy of that out to you so you can have a read of that.
I would love that. Thank you. This is so wonderful talking with you because you are an emissary.
Oh, that's so sweet of you. Thank you.
Yes, and you know, you use the hero of the book, the emissary, to represent you. And I love that. And so we only have a few minutes left, and I want to encourage our audience to pick up this book. It's brand new. It's just been published like this week or last week or something.
Yeah, it's just out.
Right. The Emissary, and your name is Patricia Corey, C-O-R-I, and it shouldn't be hard to find on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, et cetera, wherever people like to shop for books. And
yes.
And it's so much fun to read it.
Oh, I love it. I'm so glad to hear that. Thank you.
You know, it meets my needs. And so
somebody told me the only problem with the book is it's too short, and I think that is a compliment.
I was just thinking that as you said that. It would, if it was twice as thick, I just feel like it was more of a longer journey of joy. And
well, I've got good news for you. I'm writing the sequel now.
Oh,
the
good.
Journey continues.
Oh, good.
Yes,
well,
indeed.
I hope I'm encouraging you to really, you know, appreciate how great a job you've done, and I'm sure we'll keep doing. And so, you know, it's so much fun talking with you, you know, not only about this novel, but so much about, you know, that I didn't, you know, I knew you had a lot of books out before, and I know that this subject matter is very close to you, that you are involved with whales and with higher dimensional, higher consciousness participation.
Absolutely. I hope that we'll be able to get you to read some of my other earlier books.
Good, and we'll talk about them.
I'd love that.
Yeah, my audience would love that, too.
Thank you. I'd love to come back.
Good. Thanks. Patricia Corey, thanks so much for being a guest on Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter.
Right. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. And I can be reached at peter@heartriver, H-E-A-R-T, river.org, or 212-222-7748. I have lots of classes that I'm teaching online, by phone. You can call in to be in the class. Intuitive development class is coming up. So I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.